Hello and welcome to episode number 14, depending on how you measure episodes, of Old Geek, Young Geek, the internet's only podcast.
Yes, and this is a very special podcast because E3 has just ended and I got to go there and it was very exciting. It's my first E3 ever and it was just, I was taken aback. I was blown away.
I did not go, and it would have been my 8th or 9th E3 if I had gone, but I did not go, and I'm sad.
Did you see anything? Like, were you able to catch any news of what was going on at E3?
Well, I mean, the coolest thing that I saw by far and away from my personal interest was all the footage from Fallout 4, which looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really get to play is or you know take a good look at it.
Was it playable or was it just like a demo?
I think that there might have just been like a video demo that they showed off, but I did attend a panel with Todd Howard, the level designer, a couple of story writers and all that stuff, and that was really cool. I got to hang out with them a little bit afterwards, and yeah, that was really interesting, like to see all that. Like E3 was just so interesting. It was very interesting. It was very overwhelming.
Dude, I gotta say, you won E3. I mean, you got to meet like all of these awesome people.
Yeah.
You snuck into all of the awesomest press conferences and panels and events,
yeah.
And you became a meme. You were all over. Like the pictures that you posted are amazing. I wish that there was literally anything at all that I was as excited about as you were about E3 this year. It was incredible.
Yeah, I've got a lot of energy for video games when it comes to that sort of thing. Like I was just so excited, and I'm just beat. I'm so tired from just running all over the floor and doing all these different things. But yeah, I did do a little bit of cunning and stealth where I snuck into some media presentations that I shouldn't have been, and I can't really talk about some of those because some of those have some embargoes on them that I'm not allowed to publish. Until Tuesday next week.
Did you sign an embargo?
I didn't sign
Then
anything.
You can say whatever you want, Scott.
Okay,
you can
so
break
let's
these
talk
stories.
A little bit, so let's talk a little bit about the Pillars of Eternity demo that I saw.
Don't actually break any embargo.
Okay, I won't.
I mean, I don't care if you break embargoes, but... You know.
I do. I think that's kind of important for my journalistic integrity that I'm trying to form up here. But right now, I'm just an internet meme and a reaction gif.
Yes. The greatest reaction gif of all time. If you guys haven't seen it, it is so... In fact, I'm just going to start calling you Shenmue Guy from now
yeah,
on.
Yeah, everyone's been calling me Shenmue Guy, and I've been, like, hashtagging, like, all of my Twitters. And that's the thing, is like, my goodness, I've never been as active on Twitter as I have, you know, during E3 week. And now that's just another thing to take up time for me on my phone. So, like, I check Facebook, and I check Tumblr, and now I'm checking Twitter, and just, like, trying to tweet and get a little bit more... motion, because I do it for us, Steven. I do it for the podcast.
Right on, man. We should do more with our Twitter account, which we never do anything with.
We do have a Twitter account for Old Geek, Young Geek, but...
We do have one, but we never...
We don't use it, because I'm terrible at Twitter, and, you know, not much really happens in my day-to-day, but it was a lot of fun to, like, post all these pictures and see the exhibits, the booths, and get cool pictures with cool people. Yeah. I got to meet Bernie Burns and take a selfie with him while he was streaming everything on the Periscope from his phone.
Very cool.
So that was really cool. Yeah, I didn't really play that many games. I saw a lot of them and I watched. But I wanted to make more of a priority of making contacts. And I feel as though I made a few decent contacts. It was more of like a business trip, even though like I really wanted to... play a lot of video games. It kind of felt like an amusement park, though, where like everyone was just like lining up to play these games. And you know, when I finally got down to play a few games, like I could be using this time to like seek out someone and make a new contact or something like that. Because I wanted to meet people like Steven Totilo, Evan Narcissi, Adam Sessler. I saw him, and he was wearing a neat hat.
Good old Adam. I haven't talked to him in a long time. I like.
Yeah,
that guy.
Like it was day one, and. I was in line and I was talking with this kid who worked at Riot, and he was a really cool guy. I hope that I get to speak with him again. But like as we're standing in line, you know, I see guy who's walking with a lot of purpose, a blue jacket and a blue hat, and he just storms right into the exhibits. I'm like, that was him. That was Adam Sessler. Wow.
Adam doesn't play around, man. When he's got to go somewhere, he goes there.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have time for you guys. He doesn't have time for anything.
Not Adam Sessler. Like, all the pros, you know, all the major pros either had, like, their streaming booths and stages set up, or they had, like, offices where, like, you know, the developers would come to them and demo their stuff. But, like, yeah, when they have to be somewhere, they are just moving. Because there's Ivan Narcisse rocking some purple pants, and he was just on the move. Ivan Narcisse is a writer for Kotaku, and he's a very smart guy, and I wish they could have talked to him.
That's the funny thing about E3 is that a lot of people are there for fun because it's super cool. I mean, like, playing all different games and all that kind of thing is really, really fun. Yeah. But then a lot of people are there, and it's very busy time for them. Like, it's their job, and I can relate to what that's like, having been in that position myself.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally understand why people will get jaded for E3 just because it's like, oh, crap, I have to do all this work now. But I kind of had, like, a blend of that, where it's like, yeah, I had to work, and I had to, like, run around and try and meet people. Because, like, I didn't have any sort of, like, appointments or anything like that to get to, but I did want to try and make something of it, you know, in the longer run. But
no,
I also...
it sounds like you definitely did. I mean, I saw the stack of business cards that you collected, and it's probably more business cards than I've collected in my entire life.
Yeah, I gotta make those contacts.
You're
the game.
A mover and shaker.
You gotta play the game. So, like, I did that, but, like, most times when I got to sit down and play a demo of something, it was like when the doors just opened. So like I would get there like 2 hours early and then hang out in line and try and talk with someone, you know, just to like help the time move by faster. And I made some contacts there. I was actually in line on, I think it was day two, where I was talking with some guys who did some localization for Square Enix games, and they were working on Final Fantasy 15, Heaven's Sword, I think that's what it's called, but. It was really interesting to talk with them about, like, just making sure that, like, because their job was to make sure that everything was in proper format of English. Like, they had to, like, put all the commas and the hyphens and the semicolons and all that stuff. Just make sure that all the punctuation was correct. And, like, I could do that job if I had it. So.
Sure.
So that was really cool. And it was interesting to, like, hear the stories of their job and their day-to-day.
Right.
And, you know, it was just interesting because I got to talk to some developers. I got to talk to some cool people. When I did get to see some, like, bigger demos, I played the Mirror's Edge Catalyst demo, which actually was a lot of fun. And that one made a really large impact on me. And I got to talk to the level designer.
And, oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he was right there. And, you know, at each one of the stations, they have, like, a guy or a girl like sitting next to you, just like if you need anything, like have any questions, you know, could ask me. So like I asked him about the level design and stuff like that, and it was a demo, so they wanted to show off the new combat system, but I tried like avoiding all the soldiers and, you know, guys who were posted up there. And so like, hey, do you know if there's any way that I could have avoided that, like been more stealth oriented? And so like he's like, well, that's not a question for me, but for the level designer, and he's right over here. Let me go get him. I'm like, what?
Nice.
So I got to talk with him, and that was really cool. So like he said that they'll be announcing some new stuff at GDC this year.
Really?
So maybe, just maybe, I might be able to make it to that. So that'd be super rad. I would love to go to Game Developers Conference.
Yeah, GDC is super fun. Yeah. It's cool. It's much more low key than E3, and much more.
Yeah. I would like to go to something like that,
because
E3 was hectic, and I would love to go on something more low-key, like PAX or GDC. I really want to go to DICE, because that's like TED Talks, but for video game developers.
Yeah, DICE is cool, I hear. I don't think I've ever been to a DICE.
But I really want to go. They had a thing there that I got some pictures taken from. You can check it out on the Facebook, on Old Geek Young Geek Facebook.
Check it out on our Facebook!
Yeah, check it out on the Facebooks, and yeah. I mean, I just had a blast. I just had so much fun, and I ended up becoming an internet meme. I got recognized. It was so funny. I was walking.
Wait, you got recognized for being a meme?
I did.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
There was I was walking around in the Fallout section, and like somebody stopped me. He's like, "Hey, were you at the Sony conference?" Like, yeah. Were you the Shenmue guy? Like, yeah, I was. awesome. Can I get a picture with you?
Oh my God, that's so, like, so cool.
Yeah. So we took a picture and we looked like we were freaking out over a new game announcement. And then the same thing happened with a girl that I was in line with for Need for Speed. We were just talking about stuff like that, and I mentioned that I was the Shenmue guy. She's like, "You're the Shenmue guy? I saw you." I got recognized for being an internet meme, and I will be used on message boards and as reaction gifts for many, many days to come over video game announcements. So that's exciting, I guess.
That's so cool. That's so funny. Yeah, because your picture was posted on all these different news sites and stuff.
I just saw that there was another picture of me like swinging my arms like, yes, we did it. Oh my gosh, it was
so your
crazy.
Excitement is infectious, man. It's so cool.
There was a guy, I don't remember what website it was for, but someone was just like, I am so excited for video games and I don't even play video games, and like there was the picture of my of my reaction to Shenmue, and it's like, I wish I could have half the emotion that this guy does. Because, like, yeah, I was excited, and I just love video games, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just a very excitable personality.
Not at all. Dude, keep it with you, man. Like, that's
it. I'm so excited. I was so excited about all the amazing things that I saw.
All the best people are excited about things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. Like, it's easy to be cynical.
Yeah.
But you know, having a pure and heartfelt enthusiasm for something, I mean, that's pretty rare and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I was genuinely excited about a lot of things there, and I was, you know, critical where I needed to be. I didn't like just let go of everything because like I was at E3 and like I saw new stuff. Like, for example, I played the Mad Max game demo, and I was kind of underwhelmed there.
Oh, really? You didn't like the Mad Max game?
There were a few games there that I got the chance to play, and I was kind of not taken with them entirely. Mm-hmm. One of which being Star Fox, which kind of broke my heart because I was so looking forward to
it. Oh, no, the Star Fox demo disappointed you.
It felt weird. It didn't feel like Star Fox 64, and just,
Oh, that's sad. Because I kind of was looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, not hugely, but, you know, I liked Star Fox.
It's still Star Fox, though. I still go back and play Star Fox 64 and I still have a lot of fun with it.
Do you still get to do a barrel roll?
Yeah.
Because
of course you do.
Okay. As long as that frog says do a barrel roll. Was he a frog or a toad?
It was
I don't
a rabbit.
Know. A rabbit said do a barrel roll?
Peppy Hare, the rabbit, said do a barrel roll.
No, I thought it was the frog or the turtle or something.
Slippy the toad. Slippy Toad.
Slippy Toad, yeah. That's not the guy who said do a barrel roll.
No,
oh,
Slippy
see?
Toad, like
I'm going to have to hand in my gamer card.
Yeah, you did.
For not knowing that.
Yeah, he, like, Slippy Toad is the one who always gets in trouble and is just, in general,
oh, that's
useless.
Right. Yeah, he's the one that's always like, help me, Fox!
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, dude! Take care of yourself for a little bit. I got problems of my own.
Yeah.
Flavor Flav got problems of his own.
Pretty much. And, like, Falco, the sarcastic bird.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
They upped his jerk level to like over 9,000 in the new Star Fox demo. Like every time that I killed a boss or like killed like some sort of big enemy, he's like, I guess you're good for something. I'm like, excuse me,
dude, give me some respect here.
Give me some respect. Secondly, I'm your boss as Star Fox.
I could fire you from the team.
I could fire you from our merry band of mercenaries trying to save the galaxy. Excuse me for doing the work here. Goodness.
Yeah, he always did have a sort of an attitude that he hadn't earned, you know? Because it's not like he did anything that was all that great.
Yeah, he's supposed
like,
to
I took care of everything, dude.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like Ace Pilot Falco, and he's like supposed to be number two or whatever, and like Peppy Hare's supposed to be like the mentor, and Slippy's just there.
So if you could classify, do you think you can classify all human beings by which member of the Star Fox team they most take after?
Like do a personality test.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that'd be possible. BuzzFeed, get on it.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a BuzzFeed. that's like BuzzFeed fodder right there.
Yeah, totally. Which Star Fox character are you?
You're a Slippy.
Yeah. General Pepper, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's right. Do a barrel roll. That's all I remember about that game.
Yeah.
Is continually being told to do a barrel roll, even when doing a barrel roll would have not helped me in the least at that time.
Would yield no anything, like, anything good. Like,
and you couldn't communicate back and say, I don't want to do a barrel roll. Yeah. I am well aware of how to do one and when it might be appropriate or useful to do one, but now is not that time.
Now is not that time. I must use the boost to chase or try a somersault.
use the...
Anyhow.
Do a barrel roll! That's the greatest.
Funny. On the topic of Nintendo,
yes,
I got to also play the Yoshi's Woolly World.
Which
was just adorable. Like, I loved it so much. The art style, everything looks like it's, you know, made of yarn. And it's handcrafted, like, all the little yarn. Like, you can see the frays of like, stray threads and stuff like that. The attention to detail on those games are just fantastic, and it creates just this charming little atmosphere, and everything's just wonderful in those games. So I'm looking forward to Yoshi's Woolly World. It looks great.
Yeah. I gotta say, this E3 is a really good one. This was a really good one because I feel like it's at that point in the console cycle, and now I'm old enough that I can recognize these long-term E3 trends, that it's at that point in the console cycle where people are really psyched for the stuff that's coming out.
Yeah.
And there's been, you know, like, couple of years of sort of lackluster, nobody being all that excited, but this year it seems like the magic is back. It seems like the E3 magic is back, and maybe it's just because you're so excited, but
yeah, I don't want to give myself too much credit.
No, like... I give you credit for the entire show.
Okay.
I give you credit for the entire emotional tenor of E3 2015.
I would
all
say...
because of you.
Well, I wouldn't put it all on me, but
I would, though.
Thank
I mean,
you.
I would.
But
although I do have a bone to pick with you, and it's this.
What's that?
As we've discussed, I didn't get it together to get any kind of assignment or to hook up any kind of pass this year because I'm very lazy, and also I've been very busy, and I said, I just don't want to deal with E3 because I'm so cynical that I don't want to deal with E3 sometimes because I don't like crowds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know, like I do every year, I said, wow, I kind of would like to go. And then you call me and you say... Steve,
oh my god!
I got you a pass for E3, and I'm like, sweet! I can go for Wednesday. I'm gonna go and hang out at E3. I'm gonna see old friends. I'm gonna check out some video games. Then I put in the.
Yeah, I gave you all the information that I possibly could, and I thought that little sheet of paper that I had got nicked. I thought I got robbed, and I couldn't find it. And then as I'm packing up all my clothes today, I searched the back pocket of one of my jeans because I felt something in there, and it was the code.
You know what stinks, Scott?
What's that?
Is that I had the code, right? Yeah. You gave me the code.
Yeah, I gave you everything.
And I called them up, and because it's usually not, this is a little insider tip, it's usually not very hard to talk your way into E3 if you want. But one way that you cannot talk your way into E3 is to tell the story of how your friend got you a pass and then somebody stole it. Because I tried, I talked to about 5 different people that were trying to help me out, and they were like, oh, you know, there's really nothing we can do, it's not us, it's Nintendo. And I was on the phone for a really long time trying to straighten it out.
I'm sorry.
And if I had just told them, if I had just told them, it was my own fault. Because if I had just told them, the code doesn't work, I have the pass in my hand and the code's not working, then I bet I would have gotten in. I bet you, I'm sure I would have.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have as well.
Because it's a totally different, like, that's a different story and one that they can get behind. They can't really get behind, well, we gave out the pass, but we gave it out to the wrong person.
Yeah.
That's basically what they told me. It's like, look, if somebody else used the pass, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
So it's my own fault for not playing the angle correctly, which would have been, like, the right thing to do.
I have a story of not being able to play the angle correctly. When it was Wednesday, day 2, and there was the 10th anniversary of Psychonauts art gallery display at the IM8-Bit art gallery. Tim Schafer was there, and he noticed all of my wristbands from attending conferences, and he's like, are you press? I should have said yes.
Yes.
That probably would have scored me some time to talk with him one-on-one, and now I look back on it and just regret. But
the next question would have been, where are you press from?
I would have said...
Old Geek, Young Geek? Hello?
Yeah.
The internet's hottest podcast?
Totally. Yeah. The internet's only podcast about video games.
Yes.
And
about anything.
Yeah, about anything.
We're the only one. America's last podcast.
Yeah. When all is fallen, we will be there.
The last real podcast. The only podcast that matters. How's that?
That works. I like that one. The only podcast with the Shenmue guy.
There you go. This is, we are really exclusive. the exclusive interview with the Shenmue guy. we are the internet's source.
Yeah.
For news and views of the Shenmue guy.
Yeah. And just general enthusiasm about video games.
Yes, we're the internet's most enthusiastic.
Oh, yeah, so I called you one day so that we could record some podcasts. I wanted to record a few more episodes, but our schedules didn't work out.
Mm.
But I did call you one day, and I just found this little alcove at the convention center, and just call you. As I'm calling you, I saw Vern Troyer, mini me, roll nice. By on a scooter, and I'm like, hang on, see if I'm gonna have to call you back. I didn't end up talking to him. Then I saw this video from one of the Gearbox developers, and he was playing Battleborn on the show floor, and that was just really cool.
That's cool. Do you think he was there just because he likes video games, or do you think he was there?
So. I don't think that he was represententing anyone or doing anything like that. But he was just there because he likes video games, and that was rad. So
that's very cool.
Good on you, Vern Troyer, for playing video games and doing all that stuff. I met a lot of cool people. I met a lot of YouTuber people. Mostly people from That One Video Gamer / The Completionist Show.
Uh-huh.
If you don't watch that show on the internet, it's actually really cool. They play games to 100% completion. They do all the achievements, find all the secrets, all the extra stuff.
That's a very time-consuming YouTube channel.
And I got to talk with some of the editor dudes. I'm like, guys, you got a lot to cut down on to make a half-hour show from 500 hours of Skyrim or whatever. Geez, that's crazy.
Is it like a guide show where they tell you how to achieve the 100%, or
No, they do a review, and then they say, here's what you get for completing the... completing the game. So,
how many people completionists, must they have?
Like, comment, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and like us on Facebook, and subscribe to this podcast.
do they have, how often do they put up a new episode? Why are we talking about another podcast?
Well, not a podcast, or a YouTube,
channel, rather.
That's the sort of thing that I like. And those are the kind of people that I wanted to go out and meet. And I also got to meet the Game Grumps, and I got to meet Dodger. She's really nice. I got to talk with Ted Price of Insomniac. He's really cool.
He's a very nice fellow.
He's a very nice fellow, and I got to interview him. And a lot of the interviews that I've recorded will be up on my personal blog, and I'll link to those on the Facebook. So you'll get to see some of those with a little bit of blurs about who these people are and what they're doing. And yeah, I talked with these guys from Europe. Some of them are from Germany. Some of them from Ukraine. They're showing off the games that they were putting up, and those seem like really interesting things. And they were putting them on early access coming this fall to Steam. And really cool stuff. I get to see, I really enjoyed talking to all of the independent developers, because it was just them, you know?
Right.
And this was kind of a gamble for them. This is it for them. So getting
everything is on the line.
It kind of was.
It all comes down to this.
I mean, if they went unnoticed at the biggest show for video games, then that really kind of sucks. And it sucks even worse because it's going to be on my blog, which my mom reads.
Now that you're Shenmue guy, come on.
Now that I'm Shenmue guy, that might lead to something. So who knows?
Yes. I mean, this is the kind of exposure that leads to... I don't know where this kind of exposure leads to.
That's the thing. It's I'm not really a celebrity. I'm just a meme. And that's all well and good. But, I'm kind of with... Scumbag Steve and Bad Luck Brian, and that I'm a real person, but I'm a meme. So.
Well, I mean, come on, those guys are the giants of the meme world. I mean, let's have a little humility here. You're a meme, but you're a new meme, Scott.
I guess there's time to grow. So, my friend was making up like images with the meme text on it, Shenmue, more like Shenwoo, and just a picture of me, oh my god, that was awful.
Well, we're going to have to use picture of you as Shenmue guy in the promotional material of our podcast and all of our various endeavors from now until the end of time.
So, are we changing this from Old Geek Young Geek to the podcast with the Shenmue guy?
Old Geek Shenmue guy.
Oh yeah.
So let me ask you this: what about E3? Since it was your first one, what was different than what you expected?
I really didn't go in with any sort of any kind of expectations. I didn't want it ruined for me in a sort of way. I just wanted to like go in there with a great sense of wanderlust and just pure curiosity. So I just kind of explored, and I didn't really know what to expect as it was my first one. I was expecting to see like a lot of sequels, which I saw sequels, of course. Like there's the new Tomb Raider game, there was Halo 5, there was Fallout 4, and you know, that was all well and good, but there was a lot more original stuff, more indie stuff, more, you know, a new title from a AAA studio, Guerrilla Games, made Horizon Zero Dawn, which is a strange title, but a really cool concept and a really cool game. Have you seen anything on that?
I have not seen anything on that.
It's like cavemen who are fighting robot dinosaurs.
I love it. I love it already.
So it's pretty rad.
Robot dinosaurs, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Uncharted 4 looked like it was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked like it was going to be like Uncharted 2 again, but in the Caribbean. Because they're searching after pirates' treasure. So that's cool.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I know this is maybe a cliche question, but did you go to all three of the press conferences or see all three of the big three press conferences?
The big three being?
Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, the hardware makers.
Well, I attended both Microsoft and Sony's conference.
Uh-huh.
And Nintendo's this year, as it has been for the past few years.
Oh, was
online. It was a video, I didn't have a chance to watch that. So, yes and no.
So let me ask the dumbest question ever that people ask every E3. Who won E3,
Who
Scott?
Won E3?
Who won?
We did.
Okay.
As gamers. I think people from, you know, any kind of fandom and loyalty to either brand got a solid deal out of their E3s. Like, Nintendo got some great games, Sony got some great games, Microsoft got some great games. I think that everyone kind of had their share and had their fill. It was just really cool to see everything, and even like there was a lot of PC games on display there as well. So yeah, the gamers won E3. We won.
There you go. Yeah. That is an awesome, awesome assessment of E3 this year, that the gamers won.
Yeah.
For once.
For once.
For once, we win!
Yeah.
So, okay. If you had to pick one upcoming title that was either hyped or playable or demoed at E3 as the one that you're most excited for, what would it be? If you had one on a desert island.
Just one.
Just one game.
I would say it would be Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Really? That's interesting. Were you a big fan of the first one?
I kind of was and I wasn't. I really liked the first one, and I also really hated the first one.
Uh-huh.
Just because of like how the structure of it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so linear, and it definitely wanted you to go by their obstacle course that they set up for you.
Right.
I mean, it'd be like going to competing in American Gladiators and then going around all of their obstacles. That'd be cheating. So, like, it wanted you to go through its obstacle course that it set up for you.
It wanted you to fight Turbo with those big
exactly.
Big
or
yeah.
Laser and Diamond. I don't know. But, you know, that was the first Mirror's Edge. It was an obstacle course. In Mirror's Edge Catalyst, it's open world now.
Okay.
That's really cool. So, like, it won't tell you, you know, how to go. You just kind of, like, if you have to make a delivery or, like, go to a certain point, it's as the crow flies. You know, you just go in a straight line and, like, you figure out the path there. You figure it out yourself. So that gives you a lot of room to play around with. And parkour is all about that. Parkour is about, you know, finding a path there in the most efficient and, honestly, stylish way. So you can do a lot, and the combat, from what I experienced, even though I tried avoiding it, was a lot faster and a lot, you know, more fun to play.
Mm. Yeah, because Mirror's Edge, the original one, was one of those games that I really wanted to like. I really wanted to like it. I think that's everybody's kind of assessment. It's like, you're just like, wow, I want this to be the most awesome game. And then you play it, and you're like, it's not the most awesome game, but I'm going to try really hard. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I got to stop.
That was the thing. It was a risk. It was an experiment. And I think a lot of people took to it, and a lot of people played it, bought it, liked it. And at first, like, they were, you know, when they played it, they got mad at it. And that was me. I got mad at it. I'm like, this game sucks. And then I picked it up later, and then, like, I really studied it more. And I really sort of like enjoyed it the more that I played it. I went back and did a re-review for my own sort of personal reasons. And yeah, I mean, I have a new angle on it. And but whenever I start it back up, just to, like, kick around on it, I just do the tutorial mission, because like after you're done with all the tutorials, like you can just hang out there and screw around on like all the scaffolding and rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what the sequel is going to be.
Right.
But on a much grander scale. So I'm looking forward to being able to just run around these rooftops as I want to, running, jumping, wall running, and just like doing all these crazy things on my own, in my own way, without having to be told where to go. So
my personal pick for E3, I gotta say, even though I didn't go to the show, from everything that I've heard about, and I sound a little like a broken record, but it's the Fallout 4. That's the one.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm so looking forward to it that I'm kind of dreading its release, because I can't see how I'm going to be able to squeeze the time out of my life to be able to actually play it. But I know I will, which means other aspects of my life are going to suffer. So I'm going to have to tell my family that I'm sorry, I can't talk to them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to tell any responsibilities that I have that they will have to understand that perhaps I'm going to be in the wasteland and I'm not going to be able to deal with whatever it is.
Right. I'm definitely looking forward to Fallout 4. I mean, I've played Fallout 3 and New Vegas, and those are both very good games, but they all seem kind of sparse. And it just seems kind of adroit in its sort of presentation. It's very, like, just static. And Fallout 4 seems much more lively and much more full of things. And I like the fact that the main protagonist, your character, can be voiced with either male or female. So it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. And you get a dog that apparently doesn't die.
Oh.
So you will be saved from that tragedy.
That was always the worst when, what was it called, Dog Meat?
Yeah.
When he would die. I hated that.
Yeah.
I hope I can still play it the way I played Fallout 3, which was I just made a character with very, very high charisma and very high intelligence, but no strength and no anything else. And you could still play the game viably. It was great.
Yeah, totally. You could talk your way out of a lot of situations.
It's true.
I love it when games allow you to do that, because you can kill people in every other game, but if you can talk your way down from a situation, that's rad.
Yeah. That Fallout 3 is probably my favorite video game of all time.
Yeah.
So I can only hope that Fallout 4 comes close to living up to the standard set by Fallout 3.
That's real good. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man! I might revisit Fallout New Vegas. I don't think I ever finished that game.
I didn't either. But it was cool, though. I liked
yeah, parts of it were definitely cool, but something about it just didn't grab me the way Fallout 3 did. I'm not sure what it was.
Yeah, I can't say what it was either, but I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, like, this was going back to E3. This was definitely a good year, because it had its fair share of sequels, but it also had its fair share of original titles. Both Xbox and PlayStation had good representation of independent titles. Even some publishers showed off some cool indie titles. EA was showing off Unravel, just this small project which looked absolutely gorgeous and a lot of fun. That was you know, being published by EA. And they had a, you know, big booth for it, and like a demo room for it, and that was really cool. I don't know, I just love it when like these small teams of people who put their heart and souls into these games that they want to make, and when they get the recognition that they deserve, that's fantastic. That's why I reacted the way that I did to Shenmue, because like Yu Suzuki, I think, is a visionary when it comes to video games. Like, he's so cool with how he designs games, and you know, when Shenmue was declared dead and just shut down right in front of his face, that was tragic. And now that he's able to complete his, you know, vision and actually make Shenmue the game that he wants to make, you know, and wrap that up, I'm happy. I'm really happy for him. So I think that's awesome.
And that they're able to do it through Kickstarter is pretty interesting, too.
The Kickstarter thing raises a lot of questions. Because, like, why wouldn't Sony just publish it themselves? Why just plug the Kickstarter?
You know,
they did indeed raise the money, which was $2 million, and then last I heard they're at $3 million. So they have one and a half times of what they need. So,
you know, I've said this like since Kickstarter started, that I don't know why more bigger companies don't just announce everything as Kickstarters first, because why not get some of the funding from people that want to give you the funding?
That's true, and also...
I mean, it's kind of lame because it's against the spirit of Kickstarter, but at the same time...
But, you know, like, having that sort of method, like, if more games were to be published, or more things in general, like movies or television shows, if those were to be funded via Kickstarter, that's a good way to sort of, like, test the waters and see who's really interested. But then again, like, if everyone did that, you'd be overwhelmed in, like, some of the more higher quality products and projects that were going to be on there will probably be overlooked. And that's what happens with several, Kickstarters. Like, 9 times out of 10, well, no, that's a bit too high. I'd say, like, 7 to 8 times out of 10, there are projects that don't get funded, even though they're really good ideas.
Yeah.
So having the notoriety of Sony behind the Shenmue 3 project, that was pretty rad. And because they are now independently funded, they now have free reign over their game. So
this week we can hear the same plane passing over our podcast, since for the first time ever we are in the same room when we're recording our podcast.
Yes.
So that's pretty exciting for all long-time fans of Old Geek Young Geek.
Old Geek Young Geek.
Yes. Well, Scott, are you going to go to next year's E3?
I would certainly like to, and I'll see what I can do to sneak my way in some horror media events.
What are you going to do differently next year, now that you're an old, experienced hand at E3? Let me ask this question. Did you eat the hot dogs covered in bacon that they serve outside of E3?
I saw those, and I did not.
And you passed them up.
I did pass them up, because I didn't have any cash.
Lottery dogs, they're the best.
Yeah.
Because maybe they'll taste good, or maybe they'll make you sick, you don't know.
Who knows?
Life is nothing without risk.
I think that next year, I'll actually try and register as a media personality.
There you go.
Just an attendee and try and sneak my way in and not feel guilty about attending those media presentations.
Yeah, you should totally do that. It's not...
Also, it would save me $800 to purchase an attendee pass.
How much did it cost to purchase the pass?
$800.
$800?
Yeah.
Holy shit! Shoot! Really?
Yes. And then $800? After a certain date in April, it goes up to $1,000.
Really? What?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Privileged press personality.
Look, the first one that I went to, I had no assignment and I had no I had no publication, and I talked my way into it. So I don't know if you can still do that, but it was still free.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that like that. I mean, like, I think that would be the way to go as far as not paying $800 would be to put together a believable story of how your media.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
I could
$800 for God's sake.
That was crazy.
I had no idea. I really had no idea.
That was really crazy, and it definitely was a setback. But you know, spent a year working in a factory. I mean, this is like the American dream, you know, just like working in a factory, paying my dues, and then suddenly rising up to become an internet meme.
There you go. I mean, that is really what the founding fathers of the United States had in mind.
Exactly.
When they declared independence from England, they said, we want to be... That's right there in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm,
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of becoming a meme from your factory job in the Midwest.
Yeah. So with that, I say that we can call this an episode.
Yes, we can. And, right on, man.
Yeah, right on. So thank you to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We sure will.
All right, bye.
Bye.
And if you like today's podcast, let us know. Send us a tweet at @OldGeekYoungGeek on Twitter, or send us an email at oldgeekyounggeek@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.